it went to more than $100,000, which was double what I had been earning at the corporation. And unfortunately, with that first business, since it was the first business I'd ever created, I made a mistake that a lot of people make, which is,
hello and welcome to Finding Your Spark Again. I'm so glad to be here with you again this week. So we are going to have the pleasure today of speaking with Kathy Guggenhauer. She trains and coaches virtual assistants to become six-figure virtual experts, and she values joy. Welcome, Kathy.
Donalyn, thank you so much for inviting me. I can't wait to talk with you and have fun while doing it.
Yes, indeed. I'm super excited. You know, I'm just one of the reasons that your information stuck out for me, you know, your application stuck out for me, had to do with this idea that you value joy. And the way you spoke about it really was about not just valuing it in that way that we all say we value joy, right? But actually taking action, right? Actually being in a career and then going like, this is not it, and taking the action to get someplace where you can live out that value. So I'm so excited to have you here today. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, I'd love to. So when I grew up, the number one value that I was taught as far as career was, you get a corporate job and you stay there forever until you retire. And so that was my plan. And about 20 years in to that corporate career, I had stopped getting promoted. And I went to my boss and said, why am I not getting promoted? And he said, really gruffly, do you want to know the truth? And I'm like, yes, I want to know the truth. And he said, you laugh and smile too much. And until you change that, you'll never be promoted again in this company. And I was devastated, Donalyn. I went back to my little dark cubicle and cried. And fortunately, I was 40 by then, and I had done a lot of work on myself. I had done a lot of self-help reading and a lot of all different kinds of therapies so that I was able to look inside myself and think, all right, what is really important to me? Is it important to get promoted at that corporation, or is it important to continue to laugh and smile?
What a powerful question, just to not to interrupt, but holy moly, that is such a smart thing. And most people would not have thought it. They would have thought, this is the way the world is and I have to have a job. So.
And believe me, I thought that a little bit of that too. And especially when I made the decision, I am going to quit. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do next and I'm going to quit and do that. And then I went on a quest to figure out what that thing was that I was going to do next. And I knew the number one guiding light was going to be, will it bring me joy? Will I have fun with it? And I discovered that when you create your own business, you can do whatever you want.
I love the mischievousness of that way that you just said that. So fun, so fun.
So it took me about 6 months to put my plan together, and I did take my resignation letter in, and I told him I was quitting, and he said, you can't quit. You're never going to make this money again. You're 40 years old. Nobody's going to want to hire you. And I said, I'm starting my own business. And he's like, oh no, even bigger mistake. You're never going to make this kind of money. And I don't know why, but what popped out of my mouth was, I'm going to double it.
I love that. I love that. That's pure knowing. That's just internal knowing right there. Gorgeous.
Yeah. And so I built a virtual assistant business. And in 3 years, it went to more than 100,000, which was double what I had been earning at the corporation. And unfortunately, with that first business, since it was the first business I'd ever created, I made a mistake that a lot of people make, which is I created a job for myself because that's all I knew was working at that corporation. So about 5 years in, I was really unhappy. And I'm like, what is going on? You've created a job for yourself and you're unhappy. And so I redid everything. And I thought, okay, if I started this business from scratch, what would I do differently? And I did all of those things differently. And knowing what I knew then, I was able to create a business that I love. And in 2008, I started a program where I train and coach others how to do it. And my program is really unusual because I make every part of it fun. So just to give you an example of what I might do to make something fun, you know how you make mistakes? Like, I'll have a PowerPoint, and guess what? There will be a typo on it. Or I'll say something off the cuff that doesn't even make sense. And instead of people going, you've got an error, I say, let's call it bingo. So every time that you notice a mistake I make, type in the chat, bingo. And in my online course, we actually have a form at the top of every lesson that's called the bingo form. And if you find an error, you submit a bingo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you might notice that I wear a tiara. So that's the other thing that I did was, you know, I'm on Zoom a lot and I see myself a lot and that can make you a little unhappy sometimes. And so I started wearing tiaras because they just make me happy to see. And I also find that they make people that you meet happy. I get if I wear them in public, I get a lot of happy birthday.
I love this. So you're speaking so much about celebration and I can't wait to get into that, but I do not want to interrupt you. So keep going. No, that's good.
And talking about celebration. So I do live events and virtual events. And when somebody buys something that I'm selling, they are celebrated. That's exactly what we call it. And they get a tiara.
Yeah. So this, what I'm loving about your story here is that you're not just celebrating the good things, right? You're celebrating the hard things. It's hard to spend money on particularly on coaches, right? Yeah. It's hard. You feel like you don't really know. And there's always a little doubt. And like, I don't know, am I really going to make that transformation or, you know, all of that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the hard things, but then also the flat out failures. Right? Mm-hmm. When we spell a word wrong or we don't show up in the right way, it's a failure. And when we learn to celebrate those and to understand that they are just as much a turning point, oh, so brilliant, right? Because it frames our actions, all actions, as on the path to where we're going, right? Not off the path. We're not stepping off the path when we make mistakes. Oh, love it.
Yeah. And to add to what you're saying, I reframe failure as feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what have I learned from that error, from that mistake, from that bingo? What have I learned? Well, I'll tell you what I learned from the typos in my PowerPoint. I don't care about typos.
I love that. This is what I value. And it's fun to say bingo. So maybe I value it even more when I do make mistakes on that particular type of level.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, I have made purposeful mistakes in ads that I've put out just to see how people handle it. And there are a lot of people who want to point out exactly what is wrong with you or your ad or your presentation, right? And that space of I'm looking for something to be out of place so that I can point at it and say, this is no good, This is wrong. It is bad. Fix it is a really hard place for people to live in. It's really hard, right? And when people can lighten up and go like, oh, look at that. I actually had a client say to me not long ago, actually, oh, I saw your, post and blah, blah, blah. Did you put that mistake in there on purpose? And I thought, oh, you've been learning.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And it really does also, one of the best things that I feel like I've learned about marketing a business is that you not only want to attract those people that are your ideal clients, you want to repel those people who are not your ideal clients. And by doing that ad that way, you're absolutely repelling those people that are not your ideal clients.
Yeah, that's right. You have to be at a certain level of willingness to let go of how life isn't good before you're really going to be able to invite in any kind of unconditional emotional state like peace or joy, right? Because it has to be outside of condition. And all the mistakes of life, they are the conditions that we're all trying to avoid.
And, you know, I didn't for a long time really even know that I knew that joy and fun and all that were one of my top values. But I have gone through a lot more training since then, and I actually know all my values. And even not knowing it, I knew that joy, fun, all of that was my guiding light. I measured, you know, should I take this client on? Will I have fun? Will they bring me joy? No, then I'm not taking them on, right? So it makes your decision making a lot easier when you know what your values are.
Really does. You know, I find myself ruminating on something you said earlier about being in a world of serious expectation, right? Not negative expectation, but serious expectation. And early in my career, I worked in an industry where, it was all men. And at that time, men didn't have any education about their emotions, right? It's like, that is, your education is put up and shut up. That's it. If you're a male in those years, you know, and it was rare when anybody actually knew they were having an emotion, right? Especially at an awareness level enough to be able to say, I want to be this angry or I want to be this happy or whatever it is. And as you spoke about that, what I realize is that those values that you exhibited in that moment is it really, in a way, it's all the things that women have been criticized for.
Absolutely.
Right? We're emotional. We don't take things seriously enough, you know, all of those things. And that there's a certain way in which we have to look. And I don't, by we, I do not mean only females, right? Because we're in a different time frame now, right? So the world is a much more open landscape. But we, all people, sometimes are in situations where we're expected to look a certain way. And we don't want to. We don't want to. And I'd love to talk about what does it take? What did it take for you to say, hey, they don't want me to be who I am. I've decided I'm being who I am on purpose. And I want to be her. And how am I going to make that forward? What was that like for you?
You know, I have asked myself this question because looking back at the moment that I made that decision, that I was not going to put up with it, that I was going to be myself, my joyful, fun-loving, silly self, even if it meant the end of my corporate career. I think, was I like not actually thinking straight back then? Because if I would really thought about it straight, maybe I wouldn't have done it. But then when I really examine it, I will tell you, everyone except my husband, everyone else, my parents, my colleagues, my best friends, everyone said, don't leave that corporate job. don't leave that corporate job. You are making a mistake. And they said, you only have 15 more years to retirement. And that's when the trigger went off. And I said, 15 more years of suffering and living in hell and not getting to experience life waiting for that retirement? No, I can't do that.
And that life that you're talking about, so this is like, I'm so happy that you're here talking about this, because that life, you know, experience life, people use that to mean go on vacation. They use exactly. that to mean like water ski off of a mountain, you know, I don't know, whatever, right? Extreme situations. But what you're talking about is enjoying every moment. And that's where our lives are. They're in each moment. As we wake up in the morning, they're in the moment that we open our eyes. That is a moment that could be enjoyed if we focus ourselves in that direction, and on and on and on throughout the day. Brilliant. Really brilliant.
And I will tell you now, looking back, because I am now 67 years old. So I have now been running my own business longer than I was a corporate employee. I am so thankful that I made that decision, because I see the people who didn't make a decision like that, who didn't love what they were doing, but stayed anyway. And yes, some of them were able to retire and are enjoying their retirement now. But a larger percentage either died or are too ill now to enjoy their retirement.
My mother used to say, we know not the day nor the hour, right? We just don't know what's going to happen. You're not guaranteed a certain amount of time here.
And all those experiences that I've had in all these years that I could have been just, I don't know if you ever had this experience where you were in a job that you were just so unhappy in that you just watched the clock and it ticks so slowly. You're like, it can't just be 5 minutes passing. How it makes 15 years feel like 50 years versus when you're doing something you love, which I truly have loved and still love my business. And all the other businesses that I am creating now, because now that I'm in my retirement, I'm putting air quotes around the retirement years, I've started two new businesses for my retirement. And I'm not leaving the one I'm already in. Because that's what I find joyful, is learning, growing, and doing different things that I wouldn't even have known were possible if I had stayed in that corporate job.
We used to have a saying to have an elf life or an elf job, or right, easy, lucrative, fun. And, you know, things are easy when we're in alignment with them, right? A lot of times people think, oh, easy, that means I'm laying on the beach, right?
Right, right.
Sometimes, maybe, yeah. But also, when we're in alignment, when we feel like this is fun, this is actually fun, and we get paid, right? And we have value to people for which they give us money, and we are earning that money, right? So there's no inequity at all in that elf lifestyle. Yeah, I love that you bring that up. And you really embody that. There's something about you that just makes me think of that. Yeah.
Well, I want to say something about that, because I have actually thought, okay, this is my year of exploration, by the way, because if anybody is, you know, looking at life from the lens I am of getting older, the year I turned 65, everybody and their brother called me about Medicare, right? Or about my pension. Hey, congratulations on retiring. And I'm like, I'm not retiring. And it kept coming and coming. And people would literally say, why aren't you retiring? You could retire. And I'm like, I don't want to retire. I just knew it, but I didn't know why. So for the next 2 years, I was like, why am I not retiring? Why don't I want to retire? What's going on with this? And then I thought, okay, if you're going to retire, what is that going to look like? What do you really want for the rest of your life? And I decided to think of it like this. My first stage of my life was at that corporation. The second stage of my life has been my virtual expert training business. Now, what do I want the third stage of my life to look like? And what I've discovered is I want to travel, like what you're talking about. But I don't want to just travel just for fun. I want to travel with a purpose in mind, like you're talking about. And my businesses give me that purpose for traveling. And by the way, I can also write them off on my taxes, right? And make money while I travel. That's a lot more fun to me than, do I like to lay on the beach? Sure. But then just laying on the beach, that gets boring. There's only so much of that I can do. So by tying it all together, I love it. And exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And there's so much juice in it. You know, there's so much where we're able to say, what do I really want? That's what your question was. What do I really want? And what happens for most people at that moment is something goes bing, and then they go, no, I can't have that because blah, 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 blah. And that'll happen so fast that you don't even know you had the thought, right? So that getting into a state where you can hear yourself, right, is so important. And that has a lot to do with living in those joyful moments, doesn't it?
Wow. You know what? Donalyn, you're making me feel so good about my life choices and a lot of other people. I will tell you, I still get pushback. Like, for example, you were talking about men. I will tell you that men push back on what I want to do way more than women. Have there been some women? Yes, but it's the women who have more men energy. And when I get on a call and a woman says, oh, I love your tiara, or, you know, hey, I got a tiara too, or something like that, versus when I get on with a man and they say within minutes, I don't ask them for their opinion.
What are you wearing? That's what they say.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Yeah.
Why? You know, you could have a much better business if you stopped wearing that tiara. And in the beginning, before I had built my confidence, in my business, I believed them and thought, maybe I have to stop wearing my tiara. And then more and more women would message me and say, you know, I want to be able to have a business where I can wear a tiara too. When you have an online business, you can wear whatever you want. You can travel whenever you want. You can do all of those things because your business goes with you. And I'm so glad I didn't cave in to those naysayers. And one other key point is, not only do you need to listen to yourself, not other people, when you hear one voice that is negative on something and you hear lots of other voices that celebrate what you're doing, don't listen to that one voice. Ignore that one voice.
Yeah. So we're living in this time period that is so amazing because we really can, on a business level, have enough relationship to people who are outside our immediate, you know, geography, that we can match up with those people who want to be in relationship in the way that we want to be in relationship. Yeah. So it's your clients are all over the world. My clients are all over the world, right? If I was counting on, particularly before I moved, because I lived in a little tiny town, and people were very specific in that little tiny town, right? There were some major industry there, and that's who set the tone, right? And that's that. And then everybody goes by that tone. And so we're living in this amazing time where if you figure out how to have relationship over the internet and how to have value to people over the internet, then you can absolutely be all of who you are and show up in your business and make the money you want to make, right? It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. And by the way, I live in a town that has 50 people.
Yeah. Wow. That's smaller than the town I was talking.
I actually live in an area that's grandfathered in the national forest. So that's why it's so tiny.
Wow.
Yeah. I have to drive an hour to get to a grocery store. So, yeah. So if I did not have the internet, I mean, I wouldn't have even moved here, because I moved here after I started my job and or my business. And I was like, yes, I can live wherever I want. And that's where I want my home base. And now that's just my home base. I travel constantly.
So I hear so much about travel these days. Everybody that I talk to that's attracted to me, right, wants to travel. And I love this idea that you're talking about, where you're really talking about, I don't want to go see how other people live. I want to go mix my energy up with other people's energy who may live there or who I may be bringing there, right? Because a lot of times we're able, in the coaching industry, we're able to organize ways for our clients to join us, right? And so you become connected in a very different way. My brother and his wife live part-time in Mexico, and they are a part of that culture, right? They are a new part of that culture, meaning they're embracing that culture. They want to be a part of this amazingly celebratory group of people, right, that they've gotten to go near. And we can do that. We can do that. But only when we set it up from the beginning, right? Only when we learn about what's going on inside of us. What are we carrying around that we're not even aware that we're carrying around, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many people, how many times have you heard people say, that person's really angry? And you say, does that person know they're angry? No, they don't know they're angry. I have no idea. They think that's how life is, right?
Absolutely.
So that raising awareness and practicing it in your business, and then making those amazing choices, right? Those choices that seem impossible.
And I am one who, I rarely make excuses. Now, do I occasionally fall into that trap of making an excuse? Sure. And hopefully it doesn't take me too long to figure out that I've done that. So for example, one of the explorative things that I had to do was, my husband will not travel. He has physical ailments that make it really difficult for him to travel. So my thought was very black and white at first. Do I divorce him so I can travel, or do I stay with him and not travel? Well, you're already laughing because you're like, well, it's not an either or. You can do both. So I had to have a really serious discussion with my husband about this and say, you know, I love you. I don't want to divorce you. I don't want to leave you, but I do want to travel, and you don't. So are you okay if I am gone a significant percent of the time this year and in years to come? And he's still not exactly happy with it, but he knows it makes me happy. And he's willing to do that. And what I see it's actually doing for him too, is it's allowing him to go, maybe I should go places that I feel comfortable going. So he started spending more time with our children, you know, like going and staying with them for a week or two by himself without me there too. So it's actually worked out great for both of us.
We have a saying in one of the coaching programs that I run: whenever there are two bad options, there's always a third. There's usually 75, but there's always a third that feels good. And that going down the road, that's what you did with it. You went down the road, you found the best that you could find together in that moment. And then you went down the road and you've tried it out for a while. And then you continued to work with each other. And he said, what is new in my life because of this? What got freed up? What became a space I want to fill? How do I want to fill it in my life? Really amazing. Like, great growth always comes from making hard choices, but not making them in the way that we expect, and not making them in a way where the other person isn't part of the conversation.
Right. And that's what I had been doing, Donalyn. Really good point. I had excluded him. He didn't even know what I was thinking about. How could he help me and help our marriage if he didn't even know?
So often we want to know what the outcome is. We want to be like, okay, this is what I want. How am I going to get it? Right. Right. No, this is what I want. How is it going to come? And how is it going to be interesting? And what do the people in my life want? And how, right? So there's so much exploration. I love that your word is exploration for the year. So when we really do that exploration piece of it, then we are in communication with other people. We're having a co-creative experience, right? So amazing. So one thing, and you know, I've gone over time already with you. But one thing that I really want to hit on before we wrap up is about people often come to me and they want to have what I call a co-creative experience, meaning they want to be in relationship to other people, right? And so they'll have a problem like your corporate experience where they don't want to leave. They love the job, but they also don't want to not get promoted, right? And they don't want to give up laughing. So those are, you know, you're really in a bind, right? Or, and we have like these impossible scenarios in our world, in the relationship that we're having with our world. But there's a step that comes first. And I think that you so embody that. But I really want to point it out for everybody, because you cannot fix relationships. You cannot fix problems by approaching them as if they are a problem or as if they are, you know, something and you should inject it into your relationship, right? There is something that you did first, and that was that piece about finding your own inner joy. And knowing, there's a knowing in that that I can feel from you that is really about knowing that all is well, right? All is well, and all will be well, right? And we don't know how. And we can't even, you know, you can't point at everything in your life and say everything is perfect ever. But you can point at two or three things and say things are working out. It's going in the right direction.
Even if you're just going in the right direction one tiny step at a time, that builds up momentum. And, you know, one of the things that I did, that I struggled with back when I was in the corporation, I had not yet learned to do what you're talking about, to go inside me and think about what I really want and what really works for me and have confidence in myself that no matter what happens, I'll be okay. And when I learned that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay, that freed me up to experiment with lots of different things, because I couldn't, you know, I could officially fail, you know, based on somebody else's criteria, but based on mine, I couldn't, because I was just learning and growing.
That's that unconditionalness.
Yeah. And so instead of asking everybody else, what do you think I should do? And oh my gosh, Donalyn, I used to be that person. Like, I wouldn't get my hair cut until I had 20 people's opinions on how my hair should look. All right. Now I don't care. But back then, that's what I would look for. I would look for that external validation. And is it nice to have external validation? I got to tell you, I'm loving that you think I embody this stuff. Yay me. And I already know that I do. And I know I'm going to be okay no matter what. So put it on a different level. In my younger years, before I was able to do this, I used to want to control the men in my life, like my date or my husband. I was trying to control them so they could not hurt me, right? And once I realized, hey, I'm going to be okay no matter what they do, I no longer felt like I had to control anybody. And oh my gosh, that free up energy.
Yeah, creative energy.
Yes,
all your kinds business of energy. And to get on and off airplanes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also used to be afraid of flying. And now I know I'm not in control of that, right? I'm going to get on. I'm going to have a good time watching my movies that I've downloaded on my iPad and laugh out loud because I've got earbuds in and, you know, I forget that I'm laughing really loud. Oh, that is one more thing I want to mention, Donalyn. I have a really loud laugh. I talk really loud and I laugh really loud. And throughout my life, I have people say things like, you might want to tone it down a little. Get, you know, could you get a little quieter? No, I'm going to laugh the way I want to laugh. And my husband, one of the many things I love about him is that he loves my laugh. He had friends and family who said to him when they met me, oh my God, that laugh. And he said, yes, that is the soundtrack of my life and I love it.
Yeah, there's so much freedom and joy in just simply being yourself unapologetically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to laugh. I don't care how loud it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I notice when I'm really laughing, people move away a step or two and kind of hold their ear. I know.
Now, I have people turn and look like, what was that?
So great. That's so great. So, you know what I'd love to know is what are like three ways that you create joy? You could just pick one if you want. Whatever, but that you create joy. So often when I ask people about how they have joy in their life, they say something like, oh, my kids bring me joy, or my this and my that, right? My job brings me joy. But I hear from you that you create joy. And the clients that I work with, that's what we work on. We know how to create the joy so that we can have it unconditionally, so that when you're walking through something horrible, you're not in a terrible place. And when you're walking through something amazing, it's 10 times better, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that you understand that. And can you tell me a little bit about just ways that you create that joy in your life?
So when something, and I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say here, I'm going to say pinches me or bites me. When I feel a little bite from something, a little pain, like somebody says, you know, something offhanded, like, you always have tons of errors in your PowerPoint. Then I think, what can I do so that I don't feel that negativity anymore when they do that? Is there something that I can do? And I came up with the bingo thing. And instead of it being a bite to me, now it's fun, right? It's something
so you joyful. You let it fuel your creativity to not only not have that inner experience, but to not let anybody else have that inner experience of shame and guilt and worry.
Yes. Yes. And then personally, I need two things in my life. I need people that I love to be around and that love to laugh with me. So I create events where I bring people together and we have those kind of fun experiences. For example, I love to go to really awesome restaurants that have an unusual dining experience. And I just did a retreat for three other women. And we went to a restaurant that I would not go to without other people to go with. And oh my gosh, it was just amazing. And then on the opposite level, I need alone time also. I need that downtime. And what I love to do during that time is listen to audiobooks and podcasts. What did I do before audiobooks and podcasts? I don't even remember. I read real books, which I also love to do.
I love that. And it's a real testament to finding things that not only ways that you can shift the feelings that you are having that are uncomfortable into joy, but also just finding ways to celebrate more and more and more and really embrace that. So thank you so much for being here today. It's really been a pleasure.
Oh, Donalyn, you are so welcome. I need to be in your world more.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Well, then we are not finished.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that. Well, tell us before we go, how can everybody get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about your business, just so that people know what you do, and how they can connect with you.
So if you're a freelancer, a virtual assistant, a service-based professional of any type, and you want to have more consistent income or higher income, I can help you with that. Go to virtualexperttraining.com, virtualexperttraining.com. If you're a business owner who would like to leverage your time so that you can earn more, and you want to hire an independent contractor, I have a directory. It's virtualexpertmatchmaking.com, and you can find freelancers there, or just reach out to me directly, and I actually do free referrals. Find out more about what you're looking for, and I'll make recommendations to you of those that I have trained and give you three options that and why they're good choices for you. And that's free.
That is so amazing. And so now I know that I also need to be in your world. So we'll be coordinating because I could use a good VA.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, you know, a lot of people are really scared of how do I find them? What do I pay? All that stuff. So I just have a conversation with people and demystify any of that, and help you, you know, choose who's going to help you best right now.
I love that. You know, in the coaching industry, and this is not normally what we talk about on this podcast, but in the coaching industry, there are a lot of options, and there's a lot of people making a lot of money off of the options. And so sometimes it makes it so that virtual assistants are hard to come by in a way where you would pay them an assistant salary and not a CEO salary, right? So this idea that you're willing to really spend a little time and to help people to match who they should be at least in conversation with, it has a huge value, and I so appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And I actually have different levels of programming for those different levels, virtual assistant versus what I call virtual expert versus a fractional C level. And you should be paying vastly different prices for each of those different levels.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you also that as you're listening and watching today, for being here and for really soaking this in, right? You had this opportunity during this podcast to feel some joy, and I hope that you found it.